Over the last couple of weeks, we have taken our time to look at the first two commandments. Commandments about honoring God. And it has become crystal clear that if we are going to honor God, we are going to have to put Him first in our lives. Absolutely, right? I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But I'm wondering how it's going for you. How is it going with that? How are you doing there? Putting God first in everything. Is that better? Seems like I got it now. Putting God first in everything that we do. I want to think about your resolve on that point this morning as we go into the third commandment. Because people have no problem with the first commandment. You know, worshiping only God, no problem. Having Him first, no problem. Not making idols, we're okay with that, at least in theory. But when it comes down to the third one, that's where things start kind of coming apart. It's kind of weird because it's like, well, God's really concerned about the first one. You know, that's a biggie. I mean, that's really up there. And the second one, that's important too, because that's where the first Israelites really messed up, so that's important. But by the time we get to the third one, people are like, well, that's not a real big deal. You don't think I'm telling the truth here, huh? Watch what happens. Let's take a look. Open your Bibles with me, please. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. To the book of Genesis. Take a look at the book of Genesis with me. Chapter 3. Do you remember what's happening in chapter 3? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And he had a little discussion with Eve, right? And the verse that always gets me in this discussion is verse 6. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food. What? What? Come on now. Good for food? Are you kidding? There was death in the tree. This is not good for food. But it was good for food. It looked good. It looked good. It seemed good. Seemed like there was no problem here. And it was pleasant to the eye. Looked good. Seemed good. And a tree desirable. Wait, desirable? The tree of good and what? Desirable? Anybody here ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Tell me evil is desirable. Go ahead, make a case for that for me. It's not desirable. When you really see what it brings you, it's not desirable. I'm not talking about the first flush. I'm talking about the final end is not desirable, right? But it looked okay. Hey, it didn't. I mean, look, the serpent was talking. He seemed to be a whole lot wiser than any other serpent she'd ever seen. So obviously it had done something for him, right? In fact, you know, everybody was eating it. I mean, the serpent being everybody else that was there at the time. Right? Everybody's doing it. But why not do it? Why not eat from this tree? After all, there was plenty of other fruit around, right? There wasn't a drought. No lost crops. No locust infestations. There was plenty to eat, wasn't there? In other words, she didn't need to eat it, right? There was plenty of other fruit. And after all, it was only a little thing, right? Eat this fruit off of this tree or this fruit off of this tree. What's the big deal? It's just fruit, no big deal, right? That's the way people look at God's name, too. It's no big deal. No big deal. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. People say stuff all the time. It's just a word. It doesn't really mean anything. I still love God. Huh? Is that for real? Everybody does it. It doesn't mean anything. Really? Really? It's just a little thing. It's just a word, right? But think about it. Aren't there plenty of other words in the English language? We don't need that, do we? And yet, we still say these things. Almost 35 years ago, there was a young girl stood in a place similar to this, stood before someone similar to myself, and said, "I do to take this guy's name, my name, Hoffecker. I don't know why. I've been trying for 35 years to figure out what I did right. I clearly did something right, man. Because she said she would take my name. It's awesome. I love it." And she stood there and she said that. And then, what if it didn't mean anything? What if it didn't mean anything to her? Just something to do on a Sunday afternoon. She was bored. Didn't have anything else to do. How about that? She took my name, traded in an easy name for Hoffecker. I mean, come on. She had to be dedicated to do that, huh? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And I want to think about what it's saying there. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. "You shall not take the name." Take the name. My wife took my name. She took it and has used it for 35 years. Whew. I've never changed my name. I can't imagine being anybody else in terms of name, you know? But she willingly took this awful name. At least hard to say, you know? She took it on purpose. You shall not take the name of the Lord, whom? Your God. This is not just some guy's name. This is God's name. This is not just a human thing. This is the King of the universe. This is not just a bored Sunday afternoon. This is the name of the Almighty. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What is this in vain thing? What is it in vain? What is that all about? Something about did it without meaning to? Without real concern, right? Without any reference to what it was dealing with? Without any thought about what meaning is behind it, right? To take God's name in vain. You know, the internet has made a little phrase popular. You know, they have all those little letters that mean things, you know, on the internet, you know. And they have one on there that they do quite often. O-M. What is that? What is that? Talk about using God's name flippantly. So flippant, we can't even spell it out. So flippantly, we don't even realize what we're doing with it. We're taking God's name totally without thought or intent. I mean, think about my wife doing that. OMR. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Oh my Ron. Can you believe? Nobody would say that. It's too ridiculous, isn't it? Why is it so smart, Alecky, to do it with God's name? Why is it so acceptable to do it with God's name? Why is this okay? Do we have reverence for God? Do we understand what we're doing? You see, when we come down to this, now we begin to think real clearly about this thing. Does God have first place in my life? Because this thing rolls out of our mouth without us even thinking about it. Just words just flow like water, for good or for ill. And it's pretty tough sometimes. Wow, you mean I need to be careful of saying these things? And don't we say other things that are about the same equivalent meaning, you know, euphemisms, right? Oh no, we would never say God's name, but we'll say other things that are derived, huh? Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know? Yeah, we say all these things. Well, I didn't really. Please. There are not enough language, not enough words in English that we have to resort to these almost, these veggie swear words. Is that it? There aren't enough words? Or is there enough fruit in the garden? Right? There's plenty of fruit in the garden, isn't there? We don't need to do this stuff. What is the attraction then? Why do we get ourselves into these things? Why do we do this? Everybody does it? Is that the answer? Or if I didn't do it, people would look at me strange? Is that what it's all about? What's really important? Or rather, who is really important? Think about it. Think about it. James chapter 3, verse 5, I think is a verse that you're familiar with. James chapter 3, verse 5. James chapter 3 and verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Brothers and sisters, how much of a fire was kindled when Eve said, "It's just a piece of fruit"? Huh? What's the big deal? It doesn't mean that I don't put God first. It's just a piece of fruit. How big a problem did that create? And we try and excuse ourselves for the language that comes out of our mouths because, oh, it's not that big a deal. Really? Go tell Eve. Go tell Eve about how big a deal things are when we go against what God has told us to do. Make sense? You follow where I'm going with this? Am I saying strange things here? Am I bringing it straight from the Word here? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary, what? Edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Brothers and sisters, we're on this earth to be a blessing to people, to be a blessing to others, to help others in their struggles, in their walk with Jesus. Okay, so you're in the parking lot, Walmart. In the parking lot at Walmart, you pull in just as you notice, oh, this guy's just about to get out of his clunk. And he opens his door right into your door. You get out, you go around, you look over there, and like, this guy didn't just bump your car. It's that long. It's that long, and it's dented in a little bit. It's like, dude, how hard do you have to push the door open to get it open, right? And you could really let this guy have it. But do you know where his wife is? Maybe his wife's in a hospital bed somewhere. Who knows? Maybe he lost someone this week. Who knows? You don't know. We are here to build one another up. Even those people who, yeah, even those people who mess up. Not just mess up like mess up somebody else, but they mess you up, right? We're here to bless them too, right? That's what we're here for. And Ephesians says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We can be careful with our words, can't we? But let's go back to that commandment for a moment. Exodus 20 again. Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, taking the name of the Lord. You know, when my wife took my name, it wasn't just that she would learn to pronounce it correctly, which is tough to do. That's not all there was to it, right? When she took my name, she agreed She agreed to be my wife, right? Mother? Hope not. My wife. She agreed to be my wife, right? And like, I have drugged her all over the world since then, you know? As soon as we said, I do, whoosh, we went down to college. And after college, whoosh, we went all the way over to Korea. She hasn't been home since, hardly. She agreed to live this life with me. I'm not sure why. I tell you, I'm so blessed. But that's part of the deal. She didn't just take the name Hoffecker to write her checks. She took a life that was, for better or worse, right? Something about better or worse, tied to me, right? I got the better end of the deal. I'll let you know right now. I got the better end. So for that, for better or worse, I'll let you guess which end she got. I got the better end. So she took my name, and that meant taking on a life. When we take on the name Christian, what does that mean? A life, right? More than just a name. It doesn't mean just coming on Sabbath morning and saying, I'm a Christian. It's not just putting a little sticky fish on the back of my car. There's more to it than that, isn't there? There's more to it than just that. Look with me at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We are called to live as Christians, not to take the name in vain. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12. What are the 12? Who were they? Disciples, right? The 12 disciples. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. And how many were there? How many disciples were there? 12. 12 disciples, 12 guys, two by two. So there were six groups, right? If I do my math right. Six groups, and they went out, and he gave them power, it says, over unclean spirits. Jesus gave, are you ready? Jesus gave Judas power over unclean spirits. He was one of the 12, wasn't he? He went out there and did the work of an apostle, didn't he? Preached the gospel, healed people, did all these things, didn't he? Wasn't that what he was supposed to do? Otherwise, the guy who was with him when they came back would have gone, hey, Jesus, sums up with Judas, man. Right? Sums up with Judas. He like tried to cast this demon out and it didn't work for him. Or maybe he just stood back. I don't know. Maybe he stood back and let the other guy do it, right? But there was Judas. It says the 12 went out. Verse 12, take a look at verse 12. So they went out and preached. They did what? They preached. Judas preached that people should repent. That's ironic, isn't it? And they cast out many demons, and they anointed many who were sick, or anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. That's what they did, isn't it? And yet, all the disciples seemed to think Judas was just cool. Nobody had a bad opinion of him until the end, right? When He manifested what was going on. And so here was Judas. He was out there doing the outward acts, but something else was going on inside, right? Something else was going on. He had the name, he had the look, but he had taken the name in vain. He had taken the name in vain. Can we do the same thing? Can we do the same thing? You see, as we think about these things, I wonder sometimes, am I asking too much? Am I asking too much? Will the saints be unhappy? Will they get upset?
Well, what does he think he's talking about here?
Have I told you anything that wasn't in the Word of God tonight? There it is. Right there, in black and white and red. Right? This is God's law, not mine. All I'm asking you to do is what I've asked you to do the last 2 weeks, right? Put God first in everything, right? Nothing else stands between you and God, not even your language. That's all there is to it, isn't it? Just where we are. But sometimes that's pretty tough to do. That's pretty tough to do. I mean, look at James again. James again, chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 8. Maybe you read ahead of me there just a little bit. James chapter 3, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. So, Pastor, why are you even talking about this if we can't win anyway? What's the sense? You just make us feel guilty for no reason. Is that it? Or does this point us to Jesus? Points us to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, our speech, like everything else in our lives, should give glory to God, yes? This is why we're here on this earth, to show who God is. All that we do should give glory to God, yes? When we walk in this place, we should be giving glory to God, yes? This is not a common room, is it? This is a place where we specifically come to bring glory to God, yes? This is God's house. And as we go through our lives, what we do, what we say, ought to give glory to God. This thing says, though, that we can't even tame the tongue. What is our hope then? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You better believe it. This commandment points as surely as any of them to our need for Jesus. That His death will cover our sins, yes? But more, that His life will be lived out in us. Because we can't tame the tongue, but Jesus can. All right, that was a little weak. Come on now. Amen. Can Jesus, is the Almighty God able or not? Amen. Because this isn't about us. It's about Him, right? And what He can do. God is able to live in us, right? The Holy Spirit is in us, yes? And Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not just covering up the past, but helping us to live in the future. And so, how do we overcome? Let's be real. How do we overcome? First thing, we need to care about it. We need to care about it. Oh, it's no big deal. Doesn't cut it. It is a big deal. It's God's name. It's God's name that we take on our lips. It's God's name that we live out if we are truly Christian. Yes? We have to care about it. Second, we need to set our minds to follow Him. This is where we are going. We set our mind to want pure speech, to work towards pure speech. You might just blow it if you've been in the habit. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and set your mind again. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take God's name in vain. Third, ask for God's help. Is Jesus there, lo, until the end of the age? Yes, absolutely. And then finally, keep at it. Be patient with yourself. Allow God to work in your life. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Lifetime. Keep at it. That doesn't mean you can just wait for 30 years and then start getting ready. That's not what it's meaning. It's working throughout the whole life, right? My wife has spent almost 35 years with me. Woo-hoo. I'm looking forward to the next 35. Y'all will come to my 70th wedding anniversary. All right, cool. OMR. Yeah, OMR. Yeah, yeah. And so we have an eternity to spend with Jesus. Why not be serious about that and put Him first in our speech and in our lives?